Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 5th day of March, if you can believe that, Anno Domini 2022. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Apologize when you do that. When you sell, recycle, or donate any gadget, you wipe your data off it, right? That's just basic computer security, right? It's why the Reset This PC option, a staple of Windows for years, includes the option to remove everything, ostensibly wiping the storage drive clean of anything close to personal data. But with the latest versions of Windows 10 and 11, everything doesn't necessarily mean
Everything.
In a support document posted just the other day and spotted by a bunch of people, Microsoft warned that files stored in OneDrive accounts might not be removed from a computer's local storage even after the user goes through the remove everything reset process. Obviously, that's a huge security risk. To work around it, Microsoft recommends that you sign out of OneDrive or unlink your account before resetting your PC. If you encounter the problem after resetting a PC, delete the Windows.old folder. Exactly why this is happening has...
How do you get to the Windows.old folder if you've reset the PC and it shows up as a new user now?
You get back in again, right. Exactly why this is happening hasn't been made clear, but it's something to be aware of if you're planning on passing your hardware along to anyone else. Microsoft said it's working on the problem, but there's no time frame for a fix at this moment. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows removes everything option might not. And your choices are all my important stuff is on my computer. I never put anything important on my computer. I use OneDrive all the time. I never use OneDrive. Windows and other. So far, we've got 25 votes in the poll and 26 votes in the poll. Thank you. And I never use OneDrive is in the lead with 14, followed by Windows at 9. And all my important stuff is on my computer, too. For those of you who say all my important stuff is on my computer, you should check to see that it's not also in OneDrive, because if you are signed into OneDrive, if you log on to your machine with your Microsoft account, which you're going to have to do in the future, it is likely that your OneDrive account is automatically included. And so consequently, whether you think it or not, you may be saving data on OneDrive. So you should go check. And so do that. Be careful. A lot of people use OneDrive. A lot of people, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Gives you, what's 5 gig to save data. And as we say, you don't have enough backups. So one more is not a bad thing.
It's not going to hurt you.
Exactly right. But just be aware, that if you are using Windows, it is mirrored on your computer. And, when you reset your computer to sell it or give it away, that mirror may not be deleted.
And the other thing I would caution folks is just because you do have the OneDrive, don't rely on that to be your only backup drive, because it's Microsoft, folks. If they can mess up a free lunch, they'll find a way to do it.
Exactly right.
So especially the photos, documents and everything else, like I've said for a long time, don't worry about it. You can always recreate those. But the photos, I'd want them, like you said, in two or three places. If I get it for free, why not?
I've got them in Google Photos. I've got them in Amazon Photos.
Mm-hmm.
I've got them on a Raspberry Pi.
Yep.
I've got them in another place off my computer, off my site. And so, you know, the likelihood that I will lose, if in fact I lose them all, we got bigger problems.
I was going to say, yeah, there's, you
Anyway, our once you voted in the poll, and I would love to have everybody vote in the poll. And once you've done that, you can head on over and maybe check out our forum. If you've got more to say, and I know many of you do, just head on over to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff. You'll see the forums. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 5MAR22. Windows remove everything option might not. And of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We have said many, many, many times in the past, you don't have enough backups.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. Look, I get it. You don't have enough backups, and you're not paranoid enough. I get that. But particularly when it comes to, as Dave said, the photos that are irreplaceable, having them in multiple places is a good thing. So having them in at least two online sites, at least two off your computer sites, as well as on your computer, makes a lot of sense. Hard drives are cheap these days. A Raspberry Pi is cheap these days. Yeah. You can, or just buy a NAS drive and stick it on your network. Easy, mm-hmm. cheap, fast, and copy everything over to it. You can set it up to do it automatically. I don't know of anybody's phone who doesn't automatically back it up to the cloud. Android phones do it. iPhones do it.
You have to turn it on that first time, though.
You got to turn it on, but they'll all do it.
So once it's there.
And if you have Amazon Prime, you've also got unlimited photo storage. Why aren't you using it?
Yep.
It's an app that you put on your phone, just like all the other apps. Set it up, and from then on, automatically, every time you save a photo, it'll not only go to Google or
iDrive,
iCloud.
iCloud, yeah.
It will also go to Amazon Photos. Why wouldn't you do that? It's free. I mean, you're paying for Amazon Prime, but lots of people do that to get the
movies, the shipping, and stuff,
or the shipping.
Books.
So, and this is a perk. It's added on. It's essentially a free add-on.
Yep.
Why aren't you using it? Don't leave money on the table. Go get that storage.
There's three. With computers, folks have to understand, there are three critical things that you have to do. Surfing the internet and everything else. One is doing your backups. Two is keeping your machine clean. Three is keeping your passwords safe and sound. So those three things you should be doing monthly.
Right. Daily.
And just keep them on a routine so they automatically and periodically don't get complacent. Check them once in a while.
That's
double
right.
Double check this backup. Make sure, did that photo actually get up to the other site? It does. It only takes a few minutes, and check it out.
That's exactly right.
We had a customer come in this week, and he was having a problem and needed to restore from backup. His last backup was in November. The last time he brought the computer in for a different problem.
November.
When he took it back home, he forgot to plug the backup drive in. So it's never been backing up. And he's ignored all the error messages about you haven't been backing up.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Look, backup. The 3-2-1 rule of backup. Three different backups in two different places, one of which is off-site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a minimum. Like I said, I've got four backups. In three places, two of which are offsite.
I've got four.
Yeah. It's
two Raspberry Pis, a NAS drive. No, I'll take that back, five. Because they also use, like you said, OneDrive is free. So I got it there, and I use Google Photos.
There you go. So when you have the ability, particularly if you're already paying for Amazon Prime, it's free.
Yeah.
Use it. You're already paying for it. It's not free, but you're already paying for it. You might as well use it.
And like I say, I use, it's got to be close to a decade now, switched over to Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets.
Right.
So again, that's all being backed up and protected. So I don't have to worry about, you know, oh, if my machine crashes, you know, which I did have a machine upstairs in my ham room, go south on me. And it's like, oh, okay, no big deal.
Right.
I just, the one I got in came with the Windows 10, logged into my Google account, bam, everything's there.
Yep, yep.
Didn't lose anything.
I do recommend that every once in a while you go to Google Takeout and you back up, download all your stuff. Google will say, you know, you can go in and say, I want all my documents. And then it puts them into archives, zips them up. And, you know, depending on how many you have, you might have multiple numbers of zips. You download them all, and then you can stick them on a flash drive or a
burn them to DVD,
whatever you want to do. And now you have that backup just in case. And I, you know, I recommend that you do that too. And I know
it takes time. I'm so busy.
Look, you're a systems administrator now. I don't care whether you want to be or you don't want to be. You are one. That's the way the world works now. And so if you don't back it up, ain't nobody going to back it up.
And most of the time, everything can be automated, but you still have to check to make sure it was done.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, of those three critical things, one, the as far as, you know, doing the scans and everything else, if you pay for those, like AVG
right.
and Super Antispyware and Malware Bytes, if you pay for those, you can set it up that it does it automatically. So periodically, you can then just check. But otherwise, it's doing it in the background as far as downloading any updated files, you know, and keeping your system safe and clean. It's one less headache that you have to worry about. And as far as, like, for me with NPass, again, that's up on OneDrive, my Google Drive up there, so it's safe, and it connects to all my other devices. It keeps my passwords safe.
And synced up, so they're always available on everything you have.
Yeah, no matter, even my phone.
Yep.
You know, I can sit there and quick add something in. I finally got the wife over to it. Now she's setting up everything on for her stuff. She'll, oh, this is cool.
Well, just last night, my wife wanted to set up one of the streaming services on a different Roku, which it hadn't been set up on before. And she was sitting there, she went, so what's the matter? So I want to do this, but my file with my passwords is on the machine in the other room. Oh, not a problem. I have my phone with me because I keep it all in an NPass. And so it's on my phone, it's on my computer, it's on my tablet,
yep.
it's
yep.
everywhere.
Same here.
Believe me, it takes so little time to set all this stuff up. And once it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
You know, like we've said so many times, there's nothing more heartbreaking than I lost the photos of my parents or my grandparents or my kids when they were babies. Can you get them back? Probably not. If only you had taken 5 minutes to set up a backup. You know, it's mm-hmm. not hard. It's not time consuming. Every once in a while, like Dave said, once a week, I check every day. But I was a systems administrator professionally, as opposed to by accident because I bought a computer. Every day I check my logs. It takes 5 minutes. You know,
really,
it takes 5 minutes.
Well, that's where I don't have much sympathy for folks. I'm sorry to say, but when they sit there, oh, he was so busy. If you can't find enough time, you know, a few minutes out of your day, evidently it's not important enough for you to worry about.
Yep.
Because evidently you can afford to lose them.
Well, we've had people tell us, well, nobody told me my computer could break.
Oh, horse manure.
That may be true. Nobody ever said your computer could break.
I suppose.
We just all assume that it will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a car. What, you mean cars eventually die?
Yeah.
Who knew that?
Yeah.
I have a friend who, whenever someone says to her, I didn't have the time, She replies, no, you didn't take the time.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Somebody's your name.
It's you're not a victim here. You're a perpetrator. Well, and yep. So, you know, when your computer dies and you have no backups, look in the mirror. That's whose fault it is. I'm sorry, but that's just the way the world works.
It's especially frustrating for us when the customer comes in a second time, losing their data a second time.
So right.
The last time this happened, we really made sure you bought a backup drive and had a backup running. I never got around to it. Okay.
Then
you've lost everything again.
Yep. Maybe the third time it happens. Yeah.
Third time's the charm.
Yep.
Or how many people will bring in their backup drive still sealed in the box.
Right.
Yeah, good. I bought a backup drive.
Yep.
Okay. I guess that's our fault. We didn't tell you to plug it in and run it.
Right.
We just
right.
told you you had to buy a backup drive.
Right. All right. Let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, guys. Just speaking of backups, I found a really nice program that is free, and it also has a premium, but the free is more than sufficient to do basic backups. It's called F-Backup. And
F as in Frank?
Yep, F as in Frank.
F as in F-Backup?
F-Backup, yep. And I used to use Cobian, but I found it to be a little confusing in how to use it and how to get it to do what I wanted it to do. And this one's a lot easier. Like I said, there is a premium, but there's also, I've been using it free, and I've had no problems with it. And it creates a report every time it backs up. So you can just click on the success part, and it brings up everything it did and if there were any errors and where the errors were, and you can, you know, fix them.
Nice. It is Windows only, so those of you who are looking at it for something else, yeah, you're not going to find it. But it is Windows only.
Right.
Nice.
And like I said, it's a pretty neat program, and it does everything I want to do. I haven't tried to back up to the cloud with it yet. Supposedly that's in the paid version, so I may end up paying for it. But I just thought I'd throw it out there for you guys. As a nice alternative to be able to back up fairly easy.
Nice, very, very nice. And it is also, they have a companion product called Backup for All, which is a paid product. And that has plugins for Thunderbird and Chrome and Opera and Firefox and pretty much everything.
That's a nice product, yes.
Yeah. So iTunes. So you back up Minecraft. There you go.
Nice.
So you can, you know, back up all that stuff, the My Documents folder, everything, Skype. Yeah, very cool. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Anytime.
Yep, thanks.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's pretty nice stuff. There are so many products. There are so many, many products out there that will do what you want to do. Some of them are paid. Some of them are free. Some of them are both. And you get more features on the paid. And in general, how much does it cost? It costs so little to be sure that though you have those pictures of your grandparents. Why wouldn't you pay it? How cheap do you have to be to not spend, you know, $20 a year?
Or you pay the, you know, several thousand dollars it could be for a commercial recovery service when your wife yells at you that you lost the baby pictures.
Yeah. Look, this used to happen all the time at RIT as well. Students would come in with their thumb drive and say, my entire presentation or my entire, you know, my presentation for my thesis, my whole thesis is on here for my master's degree, and I can't read it today. Well, use the backup. Oh, I don't have a backup. Mm. Okay, let me understand this. You wouldn't spend $5 and 1 minute making a backup of your entire thesis.
With all the time you put into it.
Right. But I'm supposed to spend a couple of weeks of my life recovering these data for you.
Well, that's the whole thing. They're cheaply made.
Well, when you put it that way, it makes me sound like a jerk.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But what folks don't understand, that you know, those USB drive, flash sticks,
Yeah.
Are very small, and it doesn't take much. If you're pulling it out, say, from the side of the computer, and you turn it at a slight angle, that weakens, because all it is literally four fingers soldered onto a board. And if they get shorted and slide either way, it's toast.
I had a friend who brought me one. She said, I can't, this doesn't read. I looked at it. It was like a 35-degree angle.
Yep.
I said, yeah, that, you're not going to read that. That ain't going to happen. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We'll get to you right when we come back. But in the meantime, we'll take a break. We'll come back with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That is Soundbites. And that is right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Al Malutis. Join Ray Serafin and me on the Polka Bandstand Show every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
He's got that mixed up.
It's clearly he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because he pays the rock polka and roll music. Riff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Both music for us and rock music for them.
Exactly. All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have William all the way from Hampton, Virginia on the line. Hi, William. What's up?
Hello, fellas. It's not too much. How you guys doing?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Are Good. You got us on speakerphone?
I do.
Could you please take it off?
There's too much echo. It's hard.
Yeah,
hard
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Uh-oh. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I inherited from somebody a Gateway S5000D tower, which I'm pretty sure I can refurbish. The only roadblock that I'm running into is trying to find a manual or a spec sheet for it, and I Googled that both things a couple of weeks ago without any success. So,
have you gone to the Gateway's website? Because
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Gateway. Okay. You can go to the Gateway website, and usually they had a tag,
especially the major brands like Gateway.
Yeah, Gateway and HP and all them. And usually with Gateway, you can go. There's a tag on there. We'll put the identification number of that unit,
mm-hmm.
and it'll tell mm-hmm. you everything that was built in it, you know, or included in it as far as memory mm-hmm. and hard drive and everything else. And usually they also have the manuals.
Okay, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like a solution, Dave.
Yeah, we tried to come
there
up
you
with
go.
It.
All right, I appreciate it.
Hey,
all
good
right,
luck.
Have
let
fun.
Let us know how you make
Thanks.
Out with that.
I will.
All right.
Bye-bye,
take care,
bye-bye.
My friend.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's one.
Most of the major companies do have something.
Well,
along
because
line.
Everybody nowadays, manuals and all that are something of the past. If you want, you know. It's rare that you get something and it includes the manual. They always usually have a sheet there that says, all right, go to this web page and you can download or view the PDF file.
Right.
And they allow the printing to be done by you. So then that
they
you,
save money.
You incur the cost, not them.
Right. Well, I love this story. In any given field, there are epoch or epoch, if you prefer, defining moments.
Epoch.
Those events or apoc or bpoc or cpoc or tupoc. Those events that after which nothing was quite the same as it had been before. It's been a decade since the launch of the first Raspberry Pi single board computer.
Wow.
This was by no means the first inexpensive computer board, nor was it the first to support the GNU Linux operating system. But it was among the first to promise a combination of those two. Coupled with support from a crop of British 8-bit alumni meant that from when it first gained publicity in early 2011, it garnered a huge buildup of interest. We were first teased with a USB stick-type prototype, which morphed into a much larger Raspberry Pi Alpha board, and finally into pre-production boards much closer to the model launched at the end of February 10 years ago. Patents will claim that the 10th birthday of the Pi is technically not yet upon us because the first Model B boards went on sale on the 29th of February 2012, which was a leap day.
Yep.
But the two distributors, RS and Farnell, were both putting them on sale with the expectation of selling around 10,000 units, a prediction that proved woefully inadequate, with both websites collapsing under the weight of would-be Pi purchasers within seconds of opening up at 6 a.m. because they received so many orders, many more orders than anticipated. In fact, the bulk of the orders weren't fulfilled until May. Nobody had imagined how wildly successful the Pi boards would become. After a major overhaul of the form factor in 2014 for the B+, there have been a succession of ever more powerful flagship products in the Pi range alongside the compute modules, the diminutive Zero range, the RP2040 microcontroller, the Pico board, and accessories such as cameras and touchscreens and a million other things. Alongside all of this, a thriving ecosystem of third-party add-on boards and accessories have evolved, and of course a host of copycats. They made a Unix workstation into a few-dollar component, taking a minor liberty with the description of Unix, and we've made hay with it. The last 10 years for the Raspberry Pi have successfully delivered a succession of super-cheap Linux boards, spawned an ecosystem, and maintained one of the best-supported software communities in its class. Their missteps have been relatively few and their successes many, but can they keep it up? If they don't lose sight of their customers and keep that software support up to date, eh, we think so.
Mm-hmm.
Check back in 10 years for another decade of Raspberry Pi news. So how many Pis do you own? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I heard some rumors, though.
Yeah?
That, you know, once they can get chips back up in, you know, production, five.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
I'm hearing more and more rumors that they've been doing. They've been able to scrounge up some chips, and it could be by the end of the year, Pi 5.
Speaking of not being able to get chips, the only two places that currently have any Raspberry Pis at all, Raspberry Pi 0, 2Ws, and Compute Module 4s, are in China.
Keep getting arrested before you can get your Pi?
What, sorry?
Do you keep getting arrested before you can get your
Pi? Exactly. there's a site called rpilocator.com, rpilocator.com, that shows you, you know, where and when they're available. Right now,
they're back ordered.
They're way back.
I think mine's due the end of this month, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, I was about to say good luck.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. And it's another side project that if, you know, when it comes, I'll get into it.
Right.
Because I want to do some other playing with Unix. And then I still got it. I did load Unix, that one version that you told me.
Yeah.
And trying to get it to work with my network. I'm not having much.
Which version was that? Zorin? Or?
I forget.
Okay, I can't help you.
Yeah, by next week, I'll get all the information together in there. But yeah, because I got it up and it's not seeing my, you know, my network card or my whole network, the orb drive. And yeah, it's the other thing is just not enough darn hours in the day.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
To try to do all the different little projects I'm trying to do. And I run out of time.
The Rochester Railroad Modeling Club is having an open house today and tomorrow.
Nice.
I'm arguing with myself to stop by because I don't need another hobby.
Yeah.
Is that at Edison Park?
No, that's one at the Universalist Church. Edgerton Park is the one run by the city. RCCR is the airplane club. Two model railroad cars.
I can remember going to that one as a kid.
Yeah.
It was downstairs.
Lincoln Tower for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's over there behind Jefferson High School. And it's in this nice building. They had the Stardust Room upstairs. And that's back when I was a kid. I used to go with my mother because she loved to roller skate. And the upstairs room was a dance floor and a roller skating rink. And this truck would show up and you could rent skates and skate for the evening. But downstairs, there were some pool tables and then the train room.
Yep.
Oh, you sit there and put your hands up against the glass and look and then see the different ones. And then on one or two Saturdays a month, they would start the trains up in that, and you'd see the guys in there playing, you know, all the older adults playing with the trains.
Yep.
As far as I know, this is just an open house. It's not a swap meet, so I think I'm safe.
Yeah, you know you're not. You know you're not.
There might be some, you know, cars or that out in the lot with their tailgate open and doing some swap stuff.
And to clarify, when Dave was a kid and went to see these things, they rented a horse-drawn carriage and all the railroad equipment was steam powered.
Yeah.
All right.
Believe it or not, we used to, this is no lie, when I lived in that neighborhood, we had a guy come down Jones Avenue with a horse drawn buggy.
Sure.
Selling fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
Because they'd come from the market and that, and he'd come down the streets and that selling vegetables.
Yep.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
And he'd be trucking along.
Worked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Rick from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Rick?
Hi, good afternoon. Just wondering about password managers. I monkeyed around with NPass for a little while, and I really had trouble with it. And I'm just wondering, it seemed to me like it only if you don't pay for it, you can't use it on multiple computers.
Untrue. I use it on multiple computers, and I don't pay for it.
Okay. The other thing, does it work on, I guess it works on phones, but does it work on Chromebooks and everything? And how do you link something like all that together?
That may be the pay part, if you want to use their cloud.
I'm using Chrome, Google Drive.
So the cloud you already have.
Right. The way it works on NPass is I loaded the Android app. The way it works on a Chromebook is I loaded the Android app because Chromebooks run Android apps now, and so I just loaded that. And when you log in with your username and password, it connects you to your information wherever you put it.
Well, the main one I would want is on a Chromebook because I kind of like lock that down as a secure computer.
Sure.
What would I have to do on the Chromebook to get NPass to work?
You would go and load the Android app from the Android app store.
What version of Chromebook do you have? Can it run Android apps?
Right. How new is your Chromebook?
About a year old.
Yeah, you're good. So you can run Android apps exactly the same way you run Chrome apps. You go to the app store, you install it, and it just runs.
Okay.
The first time you install something, it may take a little extra time because it's going to set up the Android environment, but it runs. It runs seamlessly.
Now, as I recall, when I was monkeying around with it about 6 months or so ago, it asked for a lot of information, personal stuff, and you can store all kinds of stuff in there.
Right.
How strong is the company behind this, and how well protected are they? Because, I mean, they're getting everything.
Well, you can see it sets encryption based on your password. So if your password is, you know, trust no one, it's lousy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a decent password, it's a decent encryption, so you should be fine.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'll try it again and see what happens. I'm getting too many passwords to write down.
Believe me, I get it. But there are lots of password managers. You should, you know, there, most of them have a free version. Take a look around and find one that works like you work. NPass works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
me
necessarily
too.
Mean it's going to work for you.
Okay. Is there any? What's the major difference between the different password managers?
The way they look, the way they kind of work, but in the background, they all do pretty much exactly
the same
thing.
Bottom line, it's all the same thing.
So you're really looking at the front end, at the user interface. Well, you know.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, look, you need a password manager. You should be running a password manager. If you're still putting everything in a notebook that you can't find and haven't crossed out any of the old passwords in about 2 years, it's time to go get yourself a password manager and keep it up to date.
Somebody said that the YouTube video, the panel with the date and time, is incorrect.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The clock is
off. Saying PM.
Date and time is off.
Yep.
How did that happen?
It's Windows.
Yeah.
7:04 p.m. on the 26th. Nice.
Yeah, my JavaScript is missing. So that's when I created the JavaScript link to show the current date and time.
Yeah.
All right. Let me panic and remember how I added that.
Same thing is true on the Twitch stream, but I'm the only person on the Twitch stream.
They're all coming from OBS.
Right. Steve does an utterly amazing job keeping all of this stuff running, but this may come as a shock to all of you. I hope you're not driving at this moment. Steve is human, just like the rest of us. Sometimes?
No.
Really? Well, maybe not just like the rest of us, but he is at least allegedly human, so we'll give him the benefit of that doubt for now. Let's get back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Dave. What's up?
Hi. Just a couple of things. First, I'm a member of the Edgerton Model Railroad Club, and it's still going strong, and people are still invited. Just go to the website. There's a link to it in the city website.
Cool.
And, actually, we did have a swap meet and open house last weekend, so... for those who are interested, keep in touch. And the computer question is, I got probably last year, Google One?
Yep.
Similar to Microsoft One. And can you give the pros and cons to that? Because quite frankly, I don't want to pay another $20 if possible.
Well, Google, any one of these, Google One basically it's a subscription service from Google that gives you more cloud storage. It's really designed for the user who can't live within the 15 gig limit. Google already gives you three times anybody else, but, you know, most of us can't really live within 15 gigs. Particularly when it comes to photos, if you don't have a Pixel phone, you only get 15 gigs for photos as well. So Google offers the Google One service, which gives you much more storage, and you can pay for X amount of storage a year, and it gives you some additional features. It's basically 100 gig of space for a couple of bucks a month. So that's $25 a year for 100 gig of space. You get automatic backup for Android devices, for your photos, your messages, and your contacts. So
pretty much everyone is offering some sort of cloud services now. And basically, you got to decide to pick one and stick with it. So, but sometimes you end up paying Google for this stuff because they're holding your mail, and paying Amazon for this stuff because they're holding your photos, and then, you know, paying something else for here and something else. So it's very, very frustrating to quickly run into multiple subscription services giving you space for different things.
But basically, go ahead.
Well, the main purpose of my question is Google Photos. And consequently, I thought that by uploading photos in Google Photos, you'd have an unlimited amount, basically.
They stopped doing that and now making you pay for photos.
Right. It used to be free for everybody, unlimited. But now it's only unlimited if you have one of several Pixel phones. And that's the point of Google One. $20 a year for 100 gigabytes, $30 a year for 200 gigabytes.
Yeah, a month.
No, $30 a year, $3 a month or $30 a year.
Okay, yep, sorry.
Yeah. So it's not a lot of money, but it is money.
Yep.
And what that does is give you much more storage. So if you know how much your photos are going to take up, you can plan that you're going to spend $20 a year to back up your photos or $30 a year to back up your photos.
Right.
It's not, honestly, a lot of money, in the grand scheme of things, but it certainly is an expense.
Well, I just didn't want to duplicate effort, as it were.
Right.
I am scanning a lot of old photos and slides and things like that, so do need the protection and do need the space. So I guess I'll keep going with it then.
There you go. It's not terribly expensive compared to some of the others, and it certainly is a good. It is like you know we said it as we said it shouldn't be your only backup, but it's a good one.
And right. One of the things that we've said is that there are other photo backup services. If you are already paying for Amazon Prime, then Amazon has unlimited photo storage. It's not something you may want to pay for Prime to get, unless you want all the other Amazon Prime services. But a lot of people are already paying for Amazon Prime. You get Prime Video, and now you get unlimited photo storage. The trick is it's unlimited photo storage, not videos. Videos have a limit.
Right.
That's my situation, too. I'm Prime member. But I haven't really played with the photo backup yet.
Yeah, you have it. You might as well be using it. You can put an app on your phone that will work like Google Photos, automatically back up all your photos to Amazon Photos. And you can also access it through your browser or whatever on a computer. So yeah, it is certainly doable, and it is certainly something you should not miss out on since you're already paying for it.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Again, if you're currently a Prime member, you have this perk, so use it. You know, why not? I have both Prime and Google Photos, so that gives me two online backups. The likelihood that Amazon and Google will go down simultaneously is very small, and if they do, we've probably got much bigger problems. Why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you do it? Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joe from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Joe. What's up?
Hi. I heard your Amazon photo bit before, and I never knew about it. And I downloaded the app, but it seemed to run into problems. Now, I think maybe the problem is Amazon Prime is in my wife's name. and does that exclude me from being able to upload photos?
It does not have to. My Amazon Prime is in my wife's name as well. She owns a coffee stand at the Public Market, Flower City Coffee, every Saturday. They're there now. And she got it for the free shipping for all the stuff she buys for the market. But there is a family section where you can sign up family members.
Yeah, you can add a family member or just log in as her on your computer.
Right. Or on your phone, but you don't want to do that. But she can add you as a family member, and that's what my wife did. I am a family member on her thing, so I get the same benefits she gets.
I see. Does my photos from my Pixel actually go into her account then?
I haven't really paid attention to that. I think it's a shared account.
Well, if you log in as her, then your photos go into her account, yes. If she adds you as a shared user, which is probably the best way to do it, then it would go into you.
Yeah, you could create a folder and organize stuff so it's separate and doesn't get in the way of her stuff.
She's the owner, so she would be able to go look at it if she wanted to.
I see.
But it would be separate. And it is, at least so far... There's always that caveat. It is so far unlimited. I have Amazon Photos on my Pixel phone. And so every time I take a picture, it is automatically uploaded to Google Photos and Amazon Photos without me having to, because I've set it up that way. And so I don't have to do anything else. It's just there.
Well, it works on a laptop too, right?
Well, you can use it on a laptop the same way I've got it. You know, you can do it through the web or through the app or through the whatever you want to do.
Because I didn't think about it as far as that. You know, because my wife's photos, you know, she does so much and lost so many. thanks to Windows Update. But I got them going to Google, but Amazon would be great also for just another avenue and keep it separate from my stuff.
And if you're already, you know, if you're already a Prime member.
Yeah, which I am.
Which you are. Use it. Why are you not using it? Exactly right. You didn't think about it.
Not enough time in the day to do all the stuff I want to do.
Yeah, but backup is important. So go
it. Well, I'm good there.
Go do it this weekend.
Yep.
Now, as far as Google, I didn't realize Google had unlimited photo storage for some Pixel models. And I have this is a 4A. Do you know if that's included?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Good.
Currently.
Thanks.
They may change their mind later, like they have for free storage for everybody.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, because I got a 3A, and mine still go up.
Yep, yep.
Good. Well, thank you so much for your help.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, what is it? Amazon is... we're going to take a break. Okay, we can do that. Why not? Oh, short? Okay, we'll make it short. All right, that's it. We're done for the first hour, but don't go away. There's a whole other hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is the top of the hour, and you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
Thought you forgot there for a second.
No.
CRS.
A moment of dramatic pause to increase the tension. And we have Bill from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Bill. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for all you do for us.
And our pleasure. Thank you.
I got a question about video doorbells, wire versus wireless, home base, online subscription, or do you even need to record the data?
Very good question. There's a lot of features in video doorbells, and they come from 100 million different companies. For everybody to just level set, basically this is a camera at your door, and you can see everybody who comes to your door. You can also, if you want to, record movement. So, you know, if you're staring at a blank wall, it's not going to record anything. But the minute some human comes into view, it starts recording it. Of course, if your camera's pointing at a busy street, you're going to get a lot of pictures of cars going by too.
And that can be a legal issue because now you're recording people without their permission.
Right.
Although you're in public. They're in public, so it becomes iffy. But like my driveway camera, if the across the street neighbors have their windows open or their blinds open, it sees right into their house.
Right.
And now it's private, and so I've been trying to angle the camera down so it doesn't do all that.
So yeah, but those things are all possible. If you want a video doorbell, there are, like I said, lots and lots of places that have them. They also come with all kinds of features, like you can get one that unlocks your door or locks your door.
And then when Amazon is down, you can't open your house.
Can't get into your house.
They've got them with microphones in it.
You can speak to the individual,
which that scared the heck out of me. Because I had a client. I was dropping off a kid. No car in the driveway. And all of a sudden, you know, the house is dark. And I hear, we'll be there in just a few minutes.
Yep. Well, the and The companies always tout that the other way around, that when you're not home, you can see who's at your door and pretend to be home so they don't, you know, rob you.
Right, right.
What about wired versus wireless?
Wireless is an issue, depending on what...
You know, battery
right,
or
and
there, wire to the thing that comes out the front door. You got two wires to your button.
Yeah.
Do you want to use that, or do you want to do a battery?
Batteries are annoying because you have to recharge them every few days to a couple of weeks. So the companies always say the battery lasts 6 months if you never look at the video.
Right.
If you look at the video a lot, the battery might last a week.
Right.
So if you have the doorbell button, powered doorbell button already... That's probably the easiest thing to use because then it will power the camera and not have to recharge the batteries all the time. It's if you have Ethernet to your door, then wired networking is better. But wireless is
more secure because it can't be
hacked.
Yeah. Can't be hacked as easy. But it's less likely to actually have. So if you do hook your doorbell up to wireless, use your guest Wi-Fi. So if there is a problem in the doorbell, because there have been doorbells beachfront, is that the word?
I don't think
so. When you attack, yeah, when you're attacking, that's your first crack to getting into the house. So if the doorbell is on your private network, then if someone breaks into your doorbell, they're on your private network too. So put your doorbell on your guest network so that helps cut that problem down.
Most
okay, if I'm not home and I got my cell phone, my wife doesn't have a cell phone, how does she know if somebody comes to the door?
Some doorbells will tie into your existing ringer.
With a kit.
If she doesn't have a cell phone, I don't think she...
Well, yeah, because some doorbells also have a ringer that you can get for that smart doorbell.
You can carry with you.
No, to plug in the house somewhere.
Yeah, inside.
If your wife is home and the doorbell goes off, then yes, she will hear the ringer.
Yeah, but I mean, if I don't add something to it, she won't hear anything.
Right.
Probably not. Depends on the model.
Or most of them have apps on your computer too, so you can look at it on your computer.
My wife doesn't use a computer.
Right. So if she does,
my wife is analog.
Yeah. So she'll wait
for someone to knock.
Right. If you have one of you, if you wanted to get a video doorbell, you would have to get the kind that had the ability to add a ringer module she could carry around with her to know someone was at the door.
How important is it to record the video? I mean, it works as a doorbell, which is what I got now. Is there a real positive thing that you want to be recording that video?
If you get robbed, you can go back and look at the recording from yesterday.
I'm in a pretty safe network here in Greece.
If you got porch pirates that are going around and stealing, you know, if you get Amazon stuff delivered and you've had thefts.
Yeah, we haven't had any of that problem.
Right.
We are.
But that's what they're mainly for. And also the fact that a lot of people, you know, my front door is a solid piece of wood and doesn't have a peephole in it. So I've got a camera so I can see who's at my door before I go to my door.
Yep.
Ah.
One of the companies I like is Wyze, W-Y-Z-E. They have some really inexpensive devices. Compared to the name brand doorbell, which is $100, $200, the Wyze doorbell is $89 and includes the ringer box, which is extra for the bigger doorbells. They give you cloud storage for free. You get 15 seconds of recording time on a 2 week rollover. So if you don't pay for anything, you still get recording. You don't have to pay anything to get recording. If you want more than 15 seconds at a time. So what's interesting is it records for 15 seconds and then stops. And if the person is still moving in front of the camera, it starts recording for 15 seconds more. You can pay for more cloud storage. But the Wyze is a really interesting company that their prices are like half of what the name brands are. They've got all kinds of cool stuff. And they offer free cloud service for smaller recordings.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Bill. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have, I am, one of my projects that I'm in the middle of is repurposing one of my Raspberry Pi 3Bs to be a video, not really a doorbell. You won't be able to press the doorbell.
Yep.
But I will see who's at my door, and I can record.
Some of the companies, probably most of the companies, also have solar panels. So if you want to put a camera on like a shed or something where there's no power, you can have a solar panel to power it.
And right. They've gotten so cheap, so small, and darn powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't take much.
I saw a YouTube video from a guy who bought bad solar panels. And by bad solar panels, some of them have one bad cell, and they can't sell them.
Right.
Yeah.
They can't sell them as good.
Yeah.
So he's buying them for 10 cents on the dollar, and they're 90% good. So instead of buying, say, 10 to get to do his needs, he buys 15 at a tenth the price and gets, you know, everything he needs that way. But for a doorbell, you would need one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can. There's all kinds of stuff you can do if you've got the time and the money and the inclination and the, well, the time is the big one.
Yeah, and they're, like you say, they come in an array of sizes. I mean, everything from, you know, big 2x2 panels down to something that's 4x4 inches.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's unbelievable. And the way you can get quite a bit of power out of them as long as it's facing the sun.
Right. Right. So it depends on your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw one guy created this A-frame. And what he did is he put these panels on either end of it, and he had it so he could, you know, tilt them. As the sun's going higher and higher, he could sit there and take all three of them in this A-frame and shine them up. And then also turn it around as it follows the sun.
Well, a friend of mine powers his house with solar. He lives on a bunch of acreage that doesn't have any trees. So he spent the money to get an array of solar panels with motors on them. They follow the sun. And he powers his house and charges batteries for the evening. And he's pretty much off the grid. He said, the only problem is my wife now has an electric car, and I can't charge the house and the car.
Well, they've even...
You need more solar panels.
Yep.
They've even got roofing.
Yeah,
that looks like roofing, but our solar panels.
Now, in my case, my house is shaded most of the day by trees, so I can't use any of that stuff.
See, I could.
You could.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah.
In fact, I got my wife for Christmas a couple of little neon flamingos.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to get it.
I'd have a flamingo on the lawn.
Yeah, a flamingo on the lawn. And she stuck one in the backyard so that she could see it through the kitchen window. And the house shades it for half the day.
Yeah,
so, you know, by 10 o'clock at night, it's starting to die.
It slowly fades away.
One of the criticisms I hear, and it annoys me somewhat, about both wind and solar, is that when those devices wear out, they're getting buried in landfills.
Right.
It's electronic stuff. You should be able to recycle them. But someone has decided it's cheaper to bury it than it is to recycle it.
Right.
And until it isn't, and then they'll start recycling them.
Exactly. Video doorbells are a coming thing. You can have it. One thing you got to be aware of is the Internet of Things. That's what this is. It's edge networking. It's stuff at the edge of your network. And most Internet of Things devices are not secure. They don't have good passwords, if they have passwords at all.
Yes, they have it at all.
And they're easy enough to break into, which is why Steve says put them on your guest network.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you would have to be able
to get to... And then remember to check for updates.
Right, and always check for updates. Some of the newer ones have security built in, but many of the older, cheaper devices, a lot of the smart plugs that you can buy have no security at all.
Yeah, the cheap knockoffs that come out of most of the time it's the same factory that makes the real stuff, but it failed some QA, and so they just throw it down to the cheaper brands.
Exactly right.
And there's no updates. There's bugs that are that come built in. It's a feature. It comes with bugs already built in.
Right. And that's all based on economy of scale. They're making a million of them for a major company. If they get a bad one,
oh well,
you can sell it cheap because you've made a million and one. That one is going to be cheap. But yeah, so I got a Woodoff and a bag of crap in a Woodoff, and one of the things it came with is four smart plugs.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, there's no documentation and there's no name on them, so I don't know how dangerous these will be to plug in. Mm. So I haven't yet, but I could put them on my guest network, or even set up a third network.
Mm-hmm.
See how they work, but we'll see. I just haven't bothered to do that yet.
I did something like that at a flea market once and got a bunch of smart light bulbs.
Yeah,
but they have a base control unit that requires the company at the other end.
Yeah,
who are now gone.
Oh yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, this will talk to the Amazons and I think just Amazon. But I just haven't even bothered to play with them yet because I haven't found enough about. I may just take one apart and see what's inside it, see if there's some sort of name somewhere.
Yeah,
I still have three that were working.
No, there's no stickers or
there's nothing. There is nothing.
China.
Yeah. It's some. You know, I mean, I'm used to that when you buy something from Banggood or AliExpress. Yeah. I expect that. And I should have expected it from It's a bag of random crap is what they call it. And there's all kinds of stuff in there. And some things are useful and some things are not. And, you know, the banana slicer, that was incredibly useful. But one of the things that came with this little four-pack of smart plugs.
Okay.
Which I just haven't had time.
Got around to it.
Yeah.
Like me. Not enough hours in the day to do all the projects that you want to do.
Yep. So we'll see.
Dang.
Have you seen that guy? What's his name? He does YouTube videos.
There's a guy that does YouTube?
Yeah. Critical of like these life hacks.
Oh, yeah.
And doing the hand gesture about how obvious it is. So one of them was someone did a life hack on how to peel a banana. And they got a big sharp knife and they cut it this way and that way and that way and had a peeled banana. So then he picks up the banana, pulls the stem down. I got to find his name. Here he is. Kabe Lame is his name. And he doesn't say anything in any of his videos. It's just – so there's a video of somebody getting their shirt caught in their car door.
Yeah.
So they cut their shirt off. And he opens the door.
The thing I hate, are the YouTube videos where they show you how to make something – nobody talks, so you don't know what any of the measurements are.
Ugh.
You don't know any of that stuff. And more importantly, you don't even know what they're making until the very end.
He's Italian. It's Kabe Lame.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he doesn't speak, so he can reach a wider audience.
No, and I understand that. Most of these are someone who does not speak English, but you want to reach a worldwide audience, so you don't speak. I absolutely get that. But you need to show me some sort of measurements.
Yeah.
Because what they do is, they, you know, they'll show you two things and then they'll drill holes and they'll stick stuff. How far apart are those holes? What size are those holes? What are you making? I need to know this before
and
I can watch
this. And what material are you using?
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. I've been recently trying to pare down my wallet for safety and security reasons.
Sure.
I don't need to stay on the phone. I'll just listen. But I was just wondering if you could talk for a few minutes about what you would carry in your wallet as a minimum on a daily basis. You know, you have to pay for things or card or whether or not you ought to. One place I said, well, don't carry your health care card unless you absolutely need it. But sometimes that can be a little gray. So just kind of get a feel for my wife and I paring down wallets.
Sure.
Pocketbooks and things like that for safety purposes. And as usual, I'm a member, and you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Larry. Sir. All right, so what's your EDC, your everyday carry?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of I just did this, actually. I think my data are skewed because it happened during the pandemic. But I thought, I can get my health insurance information on my phone. I can get my credit cards on my phone. I can get all this stuff on my phone. So how often can I really just use my phone? Now that they're starting to lift some of these restrictions, I'll be going out more and I'll find out more about that. I get that. I think he hung up. Larry, did you hang up? I think he hung up. So I now have my credit card, my
driver's license,
all everything, my inoculation card, the what do they call it, Empire State Pass Plus or whatever that's called, and my PayPal card and everything is all in my case Google Pay, right? So I mostly anywhere I can just whip out my phone and pay that way. I don't even use my credit card. Now, if you're out at a sit down dining place, then you pretty much are using a credit card. So,
right.
But 90% of the time, I don't need any of that stuff. I haven't. My daughter asked me if I could change 20 last Sunday, and I realized I have not carried cash in 2 years.
And the other thing I use quite a bit too is Keeps. It's like you go to the doctors, and all of a sudden they go, and they want you to remember all the names of the prescriptions that you're taking.
You're talking about Google Keep.
Yeah, Google's Keep. And I just sit there and I open up my phone, go to Keeps, and one of the items that I have in Keeps is all the prescriptions that I take on a daily basis. What I take in the morning, what I take in the evening. I go, here you go. They go, oh, this is handy.
Yep.
It's easiest way I keep all. But other stuff, like you say, you can do that or in EnPass.
Right.
I put a lot of the stuff in EnPass.
So, yeah, Google Keep is one easy way to keep all kinds of data. But in terms of that, I still carry, obviously, I carry identification. I carry my driver's license. I do carry a credit card for when I'm eating in a restaurant that, you know, you have to hand your credit card to the lowest paid employee in the building. And a couple of other things. But, you know, my AAA card and things like that are all in my phone. They're all in the apps. So you really carry, you need a lot less than we used to. You know, when I was a kid, my father's wallet was the size of my Chromebook.
Yeah.
It was thicker than.
And the rest of the stuff was in mom's purse.
And the rest of the stuff was in mom's purse. But nowadays, you know, 99% of the time, I just take out my phone and do whatever I have to do from there. So, yeah, I don't know that in terms of EDC, you need to carry everyday carry. You need to carry a lot of stuff around with you. I carry my business cards in my wallet now, more that thickens up my wallet
enough,
much more than the other stuff that's in there now. And like I said, I haven't carried cash in 2 years. but I, you know, I keep pictures of my family and credit and business cards and that kind of stuff in there, and the card to get in the door here and things like that, obviously. But if I could get that card in here, I would just use my phone here too. You know, so yeah, I don't necessarily know that you need to.
Is there a name on that card, and do they make an electronic wallet?
There is no name on that card. It is a blank piece of paper.
No, there's a little name down here.
Oh, is there a little name in the corner? I didn't pay attention.
That may be the manufacturer.
All right, let's head back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from Batavia, New York. Hi, Mike. What's up?
Hi there. Hi, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
I use a product called Primo Cash.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm not.
Okay. It's a cash. If you're running old conventional drives, you can cache ports of memory that actually caches to it. And what I was going to ask was, are there similar products that you know of that do the same thing?
Most hard drives have cache built in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the OS caches data too.
Yeah, on a small scale, it's like 16 meg. I've got my cache is 32 gig. And, right. and it's mainly used for people that do, editing, film editing or something like that.
Right. The big point behind caching is that you have a buffer between yourself and the hard drive. Back when hard drives were super slow, that was a big requirement.
Mm-hmm. You could adjust it in
right.
Windows.
Right. And in this case, you can get, like you said, 32 gig of cache. So that's a big deal. If you're doing a lot of big editing, you don't have to wait for writes or reads as much. And that's the point behind it. Nowadays, with so many people getting SSDs, solid state drives, they're not as fast as RAM, but they're almost as fast as RAM.
Well, and sometimes there's two classes. There's the cheap ones and the fast ones.
Right. So if you've got the right SSD, a cache is not actually going to gain you anything.
And in fact, sometimes if the cache is too big, it takes longer to search through the cache than it would be just to load it from the drive to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, well, I've got an older computer, and what it is I cannot boot off of an NVMe drive.
Right.
So I'm stuck always going through SATA 2.0 because of the age of the machine, and that's why I use it.
Right. Just, there are a number of other products. Are you using Windows?
Yeah.
Okay, there's one called eBooster.
Oh, wait a minute. I should preface that. I am using Windows 7 because it came with the machine when I bought it.
Yeah, I'm not going to promise any of these work with Windows 7, but I'll give you some names. It's actually on alternative2.net. Look up Primo Cache. Caches and caching. C-A-C-H-S-E. And in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. But we'll put that up online for you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. I like this music. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You. And we continue with your generosity to be member-supported. Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Mike, I hope you got the info you needed. There are some alternatives. Did you put them up? They're up on our website at soundbites.org. You'll see it's the third one down at the moment. But, of course, as we add things, that'll change. But that's where we are right now. So that's there. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I think I'll read this one instead. A new finding suggests Samsung is throttling the performance of thousands of Android apps on Galaxy smartphones. The issue affects many popular apps, including Google and Samsung's own first-party apps. Samsung has an app called Game Optimization Service that comes pre-installed on many Galaxy phones. Although the name suggests the app helps improve gaming performance, it's apparently being used to limit the performance of non-gaming apps. Since you can't make the gaming apps faster, you make the non-gaming apps slower.
Yep.
The listed of
and then charge extra for the gaming service.
Exactly. The list of affected apps includes 10,000 popular apps, including Instagram, TikTok, Netflix, Microsoft Office, Google Keep, Spotify, Snapchat, YouTube Music, and many, many more. Samsung's own apps, such as Samsung Pay, Secure Folder, Bixby, like anybody uses that, and others are also on the list. Notably, there are no benchmark apps on this blacklist. A video posted by a YouTuber shows how blacklisted apps are subject to inferior performance, while benchmark apps are given a free hand. In his test, the YouTuber changed the package name of the 3D Mark benchmark app to Genshin Impact, one of the apps on the blacklist. The unmodified version of 3D Mark scored 2,618 points in the Wildlife Extreme test. When he ran the same test with the spoofed version, there was a significant drop in the score, 1,141 points. In other words, the spoofed version performed 56% worse than the unmodified version. It's not immediately clear if the game optimization service is installed on every Galaxy phone. Android Authority notes that they couldn't find the app on their Galaxy S22 series units, Galaxy S20 FE, and Galaxy S10S. Meanwhile, 9to5 Google mentioned it is installed on their Galaxy S22 Plus units. It's possible Samsung may have pushed this app via a recent software update. Samsung has provided some details about the game optimization service app. Samsung says the app optimizes CPU and GPU for performance to prevent heating issues during extended gaming sessions. While Samsung's announcement doesn't mention anything about the app throttling issue, it says the company is working on a software update that will add a performance priority mode to the game launcher app. So, is your Samsung phone perhaps a bit slow? We might know why. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
One of the problems in the Android world is that the, you know, the low end free without contracts, free of contract phones are fairly low powered.
Right.
And then you've got the high end, you know, flagship phones that you want the game to play the same on all of them.
Right.
So you slow it down on the fast one so it plays like it does on a slow phone.
Right. Well, what they're doing is they're slowing down other apps.
Yeah.
To give more power to the game.
Yep.
And someone also was suggesting that they do that to improve battery life. Because if they slow down an app, you get more battery life out of the thing.
Yeah. Apple got in trouble for that.
Slowing
down the phone to make the battery last. Because the alternative was your phone would crash because the battery ran out.
Right.
If they asked you that, crash versus slow down.
You pick slow down.
Yeah. But they didn't ask, and that was the problem.
That's the problem.
They assumed everyone would want it to slow down and not crash.
Right.
But again, it all boils down to making it a few millimeters thicker.
Right.
And increase the battery capacity size.
Well, for the longest time, and of course we all blame Johnny Ive, for the longest time, thinner was the craze. You couldn't get it thin enough. You know, if it was, this is too thick for Johnny Ive, your MacBook Pro.
And this is the thicker one they released after he left.
Exactly. That craze seems to be diminishing, if not actually dying.
Yeah.
Now that Johnny Ive is gone, people will be willing to say, I don't mind if it's a millimeter thicker to get another 2 hours of battery life.
And that's the key now.
Or five or ten.
I mean, because everybody relies on it. The phone service, let's face it, most folks having a phone in the house, you can find more homes that don't than do nowadays.
Right.
Matter of fact, I just got the Yellow Pages. And it's so thin.
Right.
And it's like, why do I need this?
Yep. But there's a lot of people complaining about that on my Facebook feed that Frontier, they're all blaming Frontier when it's actually the FCC that requires you to print a phone book.
Right.
The phone companies have been asking for a decade not to print a phone book, but there's some little old lady in Pasadena that doesn't have a smartphone.
Yeah, it's all Yellow Pages, and it's like,
very few
really?
White Pages, yeah. So then the companies paid to get their ad in the Yellow Pages. They must be targeting the older community who doesn't use Google.
Right, exactly.
But again, you know, I mean, we've just become a society that home phones are something of the past. Everybody walks around, even kids nowadays, they all have their cell phones, you know, and it's just not needed. So going with that theme, you'd think with all the things that they've added to the phones, they're running out of things. Like I say, and I've been saying this for a couple of years now, if they just go with the feature that, oh, well, We made it just a few millimeters thicker, like you say, because the trend is going the opposite way. And now you can get X amount of hours out of your phone. So if you're watching that movie and talking all day, you don't have to worry about your phone dying out on you or quick finding another charging station.
Right.
Hello, Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I get it. It's, well, you know, the some of the newer phone, look, everybody wants this super thin phone. On the other hand, now these foldable phones are coming out, and when you fold them, they're in a half an inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still putting cases around them.
And then you're still putting cases around them. We were doing that the other night at Rochester Google's. We were all looking at, we had three of us had the Pixel 5A, and we were looking at how very different in thickness the cases were. One had a super thin case. I was in the middle. Somebody else had a thick case, and he said, I've dropped it, you know, 6 feet, and it fine. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why you have a thick case mm-hmm. on it.
Well, you always get that person who says, well, I drop it all the time, and it's never broken. Why did it break this time?
Yeah.
Because every time it breaks and every time it drops and doesn't break, increases the odds of it breaking next time.
Right. Yeah, it kind of softens the material.
It's like I flipped this coin 200 times and it came up tails every time. Why did it come up heads now? Because it did.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a 50-50 shot every single time you flip that coin.
Are you feeling lucky?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you gotta be aware that...
it's going to happen to you.
It's going to happen to you. That's why, look, we've been saying for years, if your device is portable, and I don't care if it's a laptop, a phone, or a tablet, or whatever, if it's a portable device, get the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheap enough, and you are going to drop something sooner or later.
Or the ones that have gone into a toilet or the sink.
Yep.
Because they're, you know, they've got it resting on their shoulder as they're talking, and all of a sudden it slips and poof.
Yep. And so, yeah, if it's a portable device, get the insurance. It's cheap enough. It's certainly cheaper than a whole new phone, or laptop, or tablet. And really, believe me, you'll thank me someday.
Yeah.
And it's an insurance, you know. So it costs you what? $50 for 2 years. Who cares? Who cares?
It's cheap insurance for what you paid for the phone.
That's exactly right.
One of the things that we've run into, especially in the Apple world, is that the carrier insurance costs more and has a higher deductible than Apple's own AppleCare.
Right.
So if you buy your iPhone at a carrier store, they're going to sell you the carrier insurance. And we tell you not to do that and come to us and buy it by the Apple Care,
right?
Because then it works at all Apple dealers, and the deductibles are cheaper for damage claims,
right? So yeah, you can also be aware of who you're getting your insurance from.
Yeah, because those are, you know, these protection plans that you see advertised on TV and everything. They're in it, folks, to make money,
right?
And you got to read all the fine print and everything else to see what you're getting. Don't assume, because you'll become the first three letters of that word.
Right.
If you don't take the time and see what it actually does cover, because it can be very misleading. One of them that gets me is the car insurance, engine protection. And they say, once you read it, it's like, no, it's not going to cover it all. It'll help cover some of it.
Right.
And they only cover within certain mileage, and they'll only cover certain amounts.
They assume people are not going to read the actual document. They're just going to watch the commercial.
Yeah, they just sit there, well, who can afford that? You know, because I had an engine right. blow up. Yeah, they don't tell you how much the whole thing would have cost, what they had out of right. pocket. They just show, yeah, well, they covered this much.
My favorite one is the one he says, my mechanic not only did this, he did this, this, and that. Who does that? Every mechanic on the planet does that.
Because he's in it for business.
Yeah.
That's how he keeps the lights on.
Yeah, exactly.
And people employed.
I always...
Also, if he doesn't want you driving out of the shop and breaking down in his driveway, so he's going to do all the things.
I always get annoyed by the free virus scan commercials.
Yeah.
How many times do you think they're going to find a virus?
Exactly. Yeah. That you will have to pay to get rid of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if they put it on there.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. If you want free virus protection, get Clam AV.
Or AVG. Yeah.
Or AVG, or Avast, or any one of a dozen other companies that sell that stuff.
And pay for it, folks. You'll thank yourself in the end. Like we said at the last hour, you know, if super anti-spyware, malware bytes, and a virus program, for the little bit of cost, pay for the paid ones. You can set it up so they'll automatically update and automatically scan. So it's one less thing that you have to worry about doing constantly. Oh, did I update this? It'll do it in the background for you.
Right.
Makes life a lot simpler. A
lot simpler. I, on all my Linux devices, including my Raspberry Pis, I have Clam AV and RK Hunter and a couple of other things. RK Hunter searches for rootkits. And they run every time, and I have them set up to run overnight I'm fairly sure my machines are clean.
Yeah, and less headaches for you.
Less headaches. That's the point. It's, you know, if you want something done, give it to a lazy person. Yeah. They'll get it done right the first time and make sure it's automated so they don't have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and you'll thank yourself down the road that your machine didn't get infected when somebody else, oh, I just lost all this stuff and everything else. Or, you know, I can't do anything with my machine because it's so slow. Yeah, because you're not running any scans or anything else to keep all that junk out. Because, as we've said before, folks, that's their main thing now. They are trying to find ways to get into your computer and steal your information. If they can get in there and steal your emails and just your banking information, everything else, they won. They got you, and they're good to go, and they can sell that information to other spammers. And that's where they're making their money. The viruses don't make as much money for them. As a matter of fact, none. But
well, we're now seeing that viruses are the thing that get into your machine and then download the other stuff.
Right. Yep.
So we're still
the
seeing.
Ransomware.
Oh, yeah. You still got to have all three products.
Right? It used to be the vandalism was the goal of the virus writers. You know, I want to have sprayed, you know, Killware was here on your computer screen.
Yeah, and now break out your screen.
Yeah, now they want to get in, hold you for ransom, steal your bank account information. It's all back down to money.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how they're making their money and finding it very lucrative for them just to sit back and have it go out there and bring in millions, that's millions of folks, of information from everybody's computer.
You can go on the dark web and buy millions of email addresses and passwords. And if you think yours isn't in there, well, good for you.
Yeah, good luck.
But the reality
is... You can go check if you want it. Haveibeenpwned.com.
Exactly right. And you can find out... I'm not saying it's matched your username and password, but it will have both your username and your password in there, in their lists.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are the things called rainbow tables, which are just databases of every conceivable password on the planet and how it is encrypted in Microsoft's databases. And so they can take a look at that encrypted thing and then match it to the table and find your real password. In a tenth of a second. And so, you know, you really want to be aware that there are a lot of ways that people get at your mm-hmm. data and a lot of things they can do with your data. And you might say, well, I don't have anything interesting. That doesn't matter. This is all automated. They don't know you. They don't care about you. They just want to grab all the data on your machine.
If you get $10 from a million people, that's a lot of money.
That's right.
Yeah, but the other thing is they're also getting smart. You might say that, yeah, you don't have anything interesting. All right, well, they might use your machine to then go out and search for other people's machines that are, you know, you're friends with, pull that information in through you up to them.
And a lot of them put child pornography on your computer so that they can serve it to somebody else without them getting in trouble?
Getting tagged, yep.
So let me ask you a question. Do you know for a fact that there's no child porn on your computer? Do you know that for a fact?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one thing. Back in the day when we had the shop going, that was one thing folks didn't dare say to me is, don't look at my photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you say that,
I have to.
I was required to.
Exactly.
Because if anything went out of there with porn on it, and it was child porn,
right?
And I let it come into my shop, and you told me don't look, and I do it. I say, oh, okay, and I don't, and it goes out. I'm now in for a lawsuit.
That's exactly right.
We was talking with another tech once, and he had made a temporary account on his computer one day. And called it temp with the password temp.
Sure.
Why not? Forgot to delete it.
That's bad.
Two or three days later, his hard drive was full.
Yeah.
Someone found his temp username with password temp and filled it up with crap.
Yep. Yep. Easy enough to do. And if you have an obvious username and an obvious password, you're obviously owned. That's simple enough. You know, if your password is, I say less than 17 characters, it may be more now.
Yeah, we try to tell customers you shouldn't use that password. It's too simple. Oh, no one wants my stuff. It doesn't matter. They do want your stuff, and everything's automated.
It's automated. They don't know you or care about you. They're going to grab everything they can from everybody they can. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Yes. Is there a quick way for me to tell what protection I have on my laptop? It's an inexpensive laptop.
Did you put any on?
No.
Then you have none.
You've got the built-in Windows Defender, which has some merit, but there are better options.
It's
also possible that the computer came pre-installed with something, but generally those are trials and they expire after a month or two and start nagging you to pay for them. Okay. So that could be something too. If you look in your system tray down by the clock, oftentimes you'll see an icon. You see all the icons in the tray. You may see an icon for some AV or anti-malware program that's running. And you can see what's there if it did come with the computer or not.
So that's how I would check my laptop.
Right.
Yep.
And if you're not running anything or you haven't paid for whatever isn't running anymore, it's time to get something on your machine. Windows Defender is better than nothing, but it's not the greatest thing out there.
What would your next recommendation be quickly?
Head for the Security Tango. Under Windows, you'll see all kinds of stuff listed. SecurityTango.com.
Thank you.
Yep. Have fun. You really need to be protected. And again, many machines come with trial versions of stuff that eventually go away. And you probably at some point had an error message that said, this is expired. Do you want to pay for it? You just said no and moved on and forgot about it.
And it doesn't come back up to remind you thereafter.
Right. So you're now unprotected entirely. I had a friend who said, I use Norton. How much do you pay a year? Oh, I don't. Then you don't use Norton. But it's on my machine. Doesn't mean it's running. Yeah.
So if you open up the control panel, it would say last updated 6 years ago.
Exactly. So you really need to be aware that that just because it says you've got it doesn't mean it's running.
Mm-mm.
And check to see when it was updated and everything else. And there, like we've been saying, there are lots of free ones. But most of the free ones, it's on you to remember to update them.
Yeah, constantly.
Whereas if you pay for them, they update in the background and they check in the background and they work in the background. So our suggestion is always pay for it. Let it do its thing in the background. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It's cheap insurance for your peace of mind. You gotta these days. There's no machine that's safe. No, I have one safe machine. It hasn't been turned on in 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting in a corner waiting for me. One of the many things on my list is to take out the hard drives and junk it. You got to deal with this, folks.
There's really four things that you should have that you should pay for. and have on your machine. Is that a virus program, super anti-spyware, malware bytes, and Revo uninstaller?
Yep.
Those four items will keep your machine running clean and effective for your use. The AVG and super anti-spyware will get malware and that type of spyware type of stuff. The antivirus program will keep your machine safe from viruses. And Revo uninstaller helps keep your machine running more efficiently as you install and uninstall programs. Don't use the Windows program to uninstall. Use the Revo uninstaller. It does a better job of keeping your machine running at the peak of performance.
Right. And mostly what it does is it keeps your registry down to a minimum.
Yep.
I've seen registries that were 2 gigabytes in size. Imagine how long it took that machine to boot up, because it's got to load in 2 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. It's got to go through 2 gigabytes, and then it's got to deal with whatever it found there.
Yep.
So, yeah, if using something like Revo uninstaller to keep that lean and mean is a great idea. And letting all of that stuff happen in the background without you having to deal with it just makes sense. All right. That music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Thank you all very much. Please vote in the poll. It's I'd like to know the answers to these things. I am curious. Sometimes yellow, sometimes not. All right, I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You have been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites. We are here every Saturday from noon to 2. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, and tune in every week. You're listening to Jazz 90.1, and we are public radio, and it is your support that keeps us on the air, and we want to thank each and every member of this station. You're the reason we're here. We'll see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?